Bunny. Anybody know Bunny Pounds is in the Bible? B-U-N-N-I. Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 15. You can tell her. Praise the Lord. It just happened to open up there. Is anybody having a blessed time being in the kingdom of God? Amen. Amen. Can you convince me? I said, can you convince me? Maybe I didn't hear what I said. Amen. We're having a blessed time. God's good. We're living in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Right now. Amen. Right now. Right. Amen. I won't make you say right now, people. You know, it's not good sometimes. Amen. We're having a blessed time. God's in Israel, but He's also here. Amen. Is that right? Did you know God's here? He's not just in Israel. He's here because you're here. Amen. How many of you are born again from heaven? Jesus living in your heart. Amen. Yeah, how many know God lives in Fort Worth? God lives in Fort Worth. God lives in Missouri. Missouri. Of course, down here we call it Missouri. No, actually down here we call it Misery, but, you know. It's terrible. You shouldn't say that when you get somebody from Missouri living in here and saying, well, it's because we're trying to get them to move to Texas. They need to get out of the state of Misery and move to Texas. Amen. Larry, I thought you were going to say that, but. You can use it next time. Okay. Amen. All right, Lord, bless us. Father, we thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy. We thank You for the power of the living God residing on the inside of us because He loves us. He loves us. He's got servants. He's got sons. Even the girls are sons. Boy, they got promoted. Amen. Father, we just love it. We thank You that that every one of us lives in the privilege of the house of the Lord as a son. And Father, all of those things which You promised, they belong to us. So we're enjoying Your presence. We're enjoying the love of God and the peace of God, which passes all understanding. Even the times we don't understand, we know that we are filled with peace, filled with joy, filled with thanksgiving. We're enjoying Your presence. So Father, thank You that You are teaching us by Your Word, through the Holy Spirit, to walk in and enjoy the presence of God and to be a demonstration of that love and to be a demonstration of that joy throughout the world. Everywhere we show up, people wonder, how in the world does somebody get that happy? How in the world does somebody get that peaceful? How in the world does somebody get so filled with joy unspeakable and full of glory? And it's because that we live in heaven from the heart. So we thank You today for Your Word. I ask You to open it to us and cause us to walk in it to enjoy the fullness of what You have provided. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, it's good. You know this whole Bible is written for you? Amen. Page 1 to page 1,000 and something. And, you know, some of them start over in the New Testament. Some of you go all the way to the end. So I don't know how many pages you got in yours. Let's turn over to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. It occurred to me that David writing the Psalms, and of course you'll notice that they're small, they're each one is kind of like a small episode. Amen? It's like an episode. I mentioned, it said something in Dallas this morning about it's like Andy Griffith. It's like a 30-minute show that started and got resolved in 30 minutes. Amen? Or maybe you got an hour. Maybe you got Law and Order, so it gets resolved in an hour. And if you'll read these Psalms, David pretty much gets resolved by the end of about, except for 119, which that's a whole different ballgame. Most of them get resolved within, 30 verses. 10 verses, some of them 5 verses. These Psalms are getting resolved. And that's how my life is in the kingdom of heaven, is everything gets resolved. Amen? Everything gets resolved within 5 or 10 verses if I'm walking according to His promises. Amen? Isn't that good? It's like I said, David's Psalms are kind of like a blog, really. Amen? Anybody got ever, you know what a blog is, right? You know, people say what's happening in a fairly short amount of space. kind of what's going on today, or what's going on in my life right now, or what I've been thinking about, what I came to today, what occurred to me today. And this is David's life. Amen. Some of them begin with, woe is me, and some of them begin with, yippee. But they keep going, and David is always ending up rejoicing. Amen? He's always ending up rejoicing. He's always ending up, everything gets resolved. How many of us, you know, do the same thing? Amen? Everything gets resolved because you have the living God living on the inside of you, right? Everything gets resolved. And, you know, whether it even appears to you that everything got resolved for me in my particular day or my particular circumstance this week or this month. The truth is, by the Spirit of God, by the living God, it's resolved. I just didn't believe it yet, or I haven't acknowledged it yet, or I haven't taken time to declare it yet. Amen? Because we live in, we tend to kind of live in these bodies, and we live in time, and we live in the moment of circumstances. Anybody ever notice that? We do tend to live every day one moment at a time, because that's how time is. Time just hits you, you know, one moment at a time, morning, an hour at a time. We measure it in minutes and seconds and, hours. Or days, or weeks, or months, or years. You know, we measure these things, just like the Bible. You know, you have verses, you have chapters, you have books. You know, so we measure everything. You ever notice that? And so that's how, as people, we tend to measure everything. God doesn't do that. God lives, where does He live? Does He live in time or eternity? Yes. He lives in eternity. That's exactly right. I heard that. Somebody said that. Give people multiple choice. Let's see. God lives in eternity. That is, time is not, He's not bound by time. He's not nervous about time. Well, there, that answers the question, doesn't it? You know, we're nervous about time. God's not nervous about time. Well, boy, he has the advantage, doesn't he? So, but thankfully, neither do you. I know your body does and your brain kind of gets affected by it, but you live in eternity. If you're born from above, if you're in Christ Jesus, you live in eternity. Amen? That's true. You have to look at the Scripture. I now live in eternity. See, even my job description to share the gospel with everybody is I'm doing it from a perspective of living in eternity. When I go to work, I do it from a perspective of living in eternity. That's who I am. Doesn't mean you can take as long as you want to do everything. That's what I'm saying. Not what I'm saying. But you're living in eternity. That is time doesn't sweat. Doesn't cause you to sweat. The fact that something didn't get done in your long-term plan should not affect your joy. Amen? That's true. It doesn't affect my joy because my joy is eternal. My joy goes on and on. And I have the opportunities daily to get out of that. I have opportunities daily, like waking up in the morning or going to sleep at night or not going to sleep at night because of what may have happened in time during the day, hours ago. Things may have gone haywire. Things may have gone nuts. You know, anybody ever experienced that? Uh-huh. Man, you people are really relaxed. Nothing ever bothers you. That's good. I don't buy that, but that's okay. But when God has given you His promises, now we begin to meditate upon those promises and to know we're not just waiting for heaven to start. We're not waiting for eternity to start. It's already started. Amen? I'm living in the joy of the Lord now. I'm living in the peace of God now. Now, does it look like it from the eye? No. From the mind? No. So I always have to go back to the Word of God. I always have to go back to His promise. And that's one of these, this is one of these Psalms that actually helps me to do that. And that's why I want to share it with you today. And it begins with something that I will do. It begins with something, an action that I will take that takes me into the presence of God. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now, I want to talk about, for instance, remember, I talked about it, this being like a blog for David. That is, here's what I'm thinking about. Really, a blog is what you're thinking about. Typically, is what when people write a blog, it's a shortened version of a web log. So you're on the web, the internet, and you're basically just writing a diary of the things that are taking place, and you may have people begin to follow your diary because they think you're an interesting person, or because if you're a believer, typically they may follow you because they're encouraged by what you're saying. A lot of people use their Facebook page as a blog of sorts, because they will share scriptures, they'll share words of encouragement, words of how to get out of trouble if your mind is filled with anxiety. And so people will use that as a ministry for their friend group, because they have a whole group of friends, old high school friends like me. You know, you got old high school people that you know you hadn't heard from or seen in years, but they're all on there. So everybody you share with, they see either your despair or your joy. They see, you know, how you deal with circumstances as they come your way. Because so many people do. They share their circumstances. Oh, so-and-so is in the hospital, or so-and-so had a wreck, or their political viewpoints, or whatever it may be. Whether people just get wildly upset about circumstances that take place. You see, get an internal view of how people deal with circumstances. And so whether or not you like it or not, you kind of tend to show yourself. So you're doing a blog whether you liked it or not, you know. And some people may unfriend you if you get too upset about whatever it might be. So, I will bless the Lord at all times. Well, that's an interesting start to your blog. That's an interesting start to your discussion. And we're reading what David, and we're just basically getting an insight into what David's praying about, what he's seeing, and where his heart is. And so, when he says this, I will bless the Lord at all times, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now, let me take a little caveat here, is that these psalms, these entries, are born of a man filled with God's presence. Amen? That's who David is. David is a man after God's own heart. Does that mean he doesn't get upset? Oh, God, where are you? You know, in the next one. And where are you? What are you? I've lost you somehow. But we're seeing this, and so the Holy Spirit moves through these psalms and allows us to get a flavor of how you become delivered through meditating on the presence of the Lord. Amen? All right. I will bless the Lord at all times. I will bless the Lord at all times. Well, how many of us do that? I will bless the Lord at all times. Sometimes. Occasionally. When things are going well. When things aren't going bad. You know. In other words, you're ruled by your emotions rather than ruled by faith. Mm-hmm. Ruled by circumstances rather than ruled by what God said. His promises. So you want to be ruled by God's promises, not by the evidentiary lack of evidence for those promises being fulfilled. God works in me, depositing His promises in me daily through the Word of God and through His Spirit, through His presence, daily encouraging me just by His presence. God's presence indwells the believer. Indwells the individual person who has received Jesus Christ as Lord. God's presence dwells on the inside of you. He is daily working and producing fruit on the inside of you. We have a mind, will and emotions that I've mentioned before are kind of raised up in this world. It's kind of, anybody not raised somewhere on the planet? And we have these episodes and things that happen to us that we tend to respond to. And most of them are responded to in an emotional fashion, whether or not, you know, we like something or don't like something. Somebody punched me in the nose. Somebody punched me in the pride, you know, or wherever I might have gotten injured. And I tend to want to react or respond. But that's my flesh. That's the flesh. What God has done is taken the flesh out. How many know that? God's taken your flesh out. He's removed it. Well, it doesn't seem like it. I still seem to, you know, have twinges of it from time to time. That's walking by faith, is how God has actually, those things which normally you would respond to, the Holy Spirit actually, that's the conviction of the Holy Spirit, is that you're not who this emotion says that you are. Differentiates you from the world. God's presence speaking to your heart, saying, no, that's not you anymore. And so you begin to hear that. You begin to hear it more clearly daily as you bless the Lord at all times. Blessing the Lord at all times doesn't make a lot of sense in the flesh, does it? It actually kind of, you almost look like a hypocrite because everybody knows you're mad, you know, about whatever it was, so-and-so, or whatever happened. You know, people know that you're already upset. Or they, at least they assume so because they knew they would be. Or they've known you for so many years and they know you and that person and that you've been transformed and changed, but they don't see that. They don't believe, understand that. Somebody talked about a lot of the news media talked about the girl up in Kentucky who didn't want, the county clerk who didn't want to sign marriage licenses for homosexual couples. And part of the media process was, well, just look at her. She claims to be a Christian. She's been married 4 times. Yeah, but she's been a Christian 2 years. People do not have the concept or the understanding that there's a transformation that takes place in a person, that the living God transforms and changes a person. So people may look at you and they feel they know how you respond generally to negative stimulus. And so you look like, if you begin to rejoice, they begin to look at you like, what kind of hypocrite are you? What are you trying to pull? Amen? In fact, the problem is you think that of yourself. Anybody ever notice that? You start rejoicing. You start acting like you're happy. Well, you're a hypocrite. You're not happy and you know it. When you're not happy and you know it, gripe and complain. When you're not happy and you know it, don't rejoice. That's how that's your mentality. But the Bible tells you to do something different, something stupid, basically. Sorry, kids. Sorry, moms. Shouldn't say stupid in church. But the Bible tells you to do something different, Tony. When they punch you in the nose, you rejoice. That's kind of like, that doesn't make no sense. It just makes absolutely no sense. You know, everybody knows what the Bible says. Eye for an eye. You know, punch them back. No, the Holy Spirit, though, says, through a believer in Christ, says, love them, bless them. Why? Because you're a deliverer of the gospel. You're a delivery point of the love of God. Jesus was beaten. He forgave him. Paul was beaten. He forgave him. Why? Because that is the love of God for you. For God so loved the... Help me out. One more time. I'm hard of hearing. Thank you. My goodness. Next time, just do it loud. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, God wants us to be so engaged in our own reception of His mercy, that all we can do is give it away and give it to somebody else. Amen? That's who we are. That's who you are. That's who I am. So, the evidence is, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise is continually in my mouth. That is, it keeps coming out of my mouth all the time. Well, most of the time. I will bless the Lord at all times. See, this is your testimony. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Realize that there are occasions and moments where we just, where, you know, you hit your thumb with the hammer and you say, praise the Lord. You know, but in your mind you're not saying praise. I mean, you've been well taught, so you say praise the Lord, but in your mind you go, you know, or something occurred. The car got wrecked, or little Johnny wrecked the car. Even better. It's always better. You know, when you wreck it, there's always a reason. When the kids wreck it, it's, you know, it's, you just get all upset, all excited about it. So, but God is, and we know that there is still an emotional component to your flesh, right? And so that emotional component, you know, I don't know if God will give it to you, but I'll give you, I'm talking to Janet about it. Janet says, no, you're right there, right then you need to rejoice. I said, I agree with that, but I'll give most people, I'll even give them a day. I'll give you a day to come back and say, no, you know, glory to God. You know, I'll give you as much as a day. God knew if God would give you that much. But the idea is to begin to rejoice. Certainly not to take, you know, 10 or 12 years to forgive your Aunt Susie or whoever you're going to have to forgive, or to have gotten yourself so worked up to where you're not going to forgive anybody, forgive that person. You can't, I'll forgive you, but I'm going to forget you, kind of thing, you know. I'd never want to see you again. How many know that's not forgiveness? That's abandonment. That's, you know, that's sending them to hell, basically, you know. You don't care. But God says, see, how many, you are the beloved of the Lord, and you are His vehicle and vessel. And I want to read this next verse to you. So if you're rejoicing all the time, that is, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now put that on your doorpost, by the way. Put that somewhere where you see it. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be exiting my mouth rather than something else. Verse 2, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Now, what is my soul? My soul is that part of me that's already been informed. It's your mind, your will, and your emotions, which typically from birth is informed by the world, informed by your environment. You know, this is how you learn to respond to stimuli and circumstance. However, the Holy Spirit begins to inform your soul once you become born again. The Word of God and the Holy Spirit begin to be, when I say inform your soul, they begin to speak into your soul, and that's where the transformation begins with your mind, your will, your emotions, your thought life, right? Is, you know, Philippians 2, 12 and 13 is his will, help me out. What is it? He is in me both to will, and to, see, it's two-step, right? First he changes your willer, and then he changes your doer. Because your willer is usually the impediment to your doer. You know, that's why you don't walk up to the edge of the cliff, you know, to look over. It's because your willer is stuck. Hey, look down there, that's really cool. I'm not going over there. I'm not getting even close to there. So your willer is your problem. You know, and that has to do with go love that person. Nah, they ain't getting close to that. If I get close to them, I know what's going to happen. Either they're going to punch me or I'm going to punch them. Right? Or whatever might be the possible outcome of that relationship and of that meeting. You know, there's a lot of us who are afraid of having that meeting, you know, between us and somebody who we're not on great terms with in the natural. But God has transformed you. He has begun to inform your soul based on not your experience, but based on His Spirit. So you're no longer approaching them as you. You're approaching them as Jesus. Actually, you're approaching them as you in Christ Jesus. It's not like they've got Jesus' face on you now. But you have been transformed. You are no longer who you were with relationship to that person. You are now the love of God with relationship to that person or that circumstance. Amen? Hope somebody's riding with me. Amen? Well, lunch is coming soon. Okay, now, so His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Verse 2, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord rather than my circumstance or my dissatisfaction with the current circumstances. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Now watch this. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. So you begin to have a testimony of what God's done. You begin to declare, I love you, or I'm walking in peace, walking in joy like I've never walked before. And things just don't, and people are see the evidence that things do not blow you away or upset you the way they used to do. It says here, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Well, there's the humble, and then who are the other people? Starts with a P. Ends with a D. Got an R, O, U in the middle. The proud probably won't do that because they're still working on their own way. They're still working on how they're going to get past something. The humble are the ones who pretty much kind of like the kid out there in the pig pen, the prodigal. It's like all of a sudden he comes to himself and says, something ain't right. And people who, the humble here, are going to hear thereof. And what are they going to do? Oh, they'll be glad. So they're going to, so the humble, that is, there are going to be people who are just going to kind of blow you off. A lot of people who are folks who get depressed about their circumstances, and they have a right to in their mind. A lot of believers, a lot of just regular people, you know. They get upset about their situation. They have a right to do that in that fact. Certainly a Christian who is walking along and walking in that mode is just forsaking the promises. First of all, they don't have to walk angry. They don't have to. A lot of people, they like to walk angry. It's kind of their right, you know, their privilege. You know, things have beat me up. The world's been bad to me. By golly, you know, I deserve to have a little bit of pity party going on. But here, people don't understand the fact that that pity party they're having, and that length of time that they're wasting in that state is taking away from their joy, taking away from their life, certainly taking away from their ministry in Christ Jesus to somebody else. But the humble shall hear. That's the guy who's ready. That's the guy in the pig pen going, looking for God to say something, looking for an answer that they know they don't have. And I want to quickly be that person. I want to quickly get to the point where I'm ready to listen to you. I'm ready to listen to what the Lord did to get you out of your funk, out of your bad situation, out of your fear, your dissatisfaction with your circumstances. I want to know what the Lord did there. And that's where I'm going to have to be, though. I'm going to have to be where I don't have any hope to get myself out anymore. And that's where the humble are. The humble shall hear thereof. So not everybody, what I'm saying to you, is not everybody's going to hear your joyous report and like it. But that's okay. You just continue to walk with praising the Lord at all times. What really encourages me about this passage is that blessing the Lord at all times takes me out of the world. And I want everybody to go with me. Okay? I want everybody to go with me. I don't want you stuck here. I don't want you stuck here with your various episodes of you know, boy, things are bad. Things are problematic. That's all true because, again, we live in time. Time, it takes time to get past one thing or another. But again, learn to live in eternity, even every morning. His mercies are new every morning. I believe it's like a resurrection. I've said that before. Every day is like rising from the dead. Everything, His mercies are new every morning. So rising up, you know, in your prayer time. And I said something this morning as well about your prayer time. Well, somebody already got guilty right there. Prayer time, you know. Some of you don't have like a prayer time, like prayer time in a closet, no thing, you know. Some of you believe in, I will pray, and praying without ceasing, you know. You know, not the 30-minute window. And that's fine. That's great. That's a blessing. Just wake up giving thanks. Wake up rejoicing. Don't have to have something that traps you into another opportunity for you to be condemned. Just begin to worship the Lord. Just get up and thank God this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. You know, get your coffee, get your cereal, whatever you're doing, you know. And just walk in that presence of God. I will bless the Lord at all times. Just, again, write that down. Write it down. Spend time writing it down. I've always found that writing things down just really, really helps me get it. You know, say it, write it down. You know, I may never look at it again. I'll probably write it down and lose it, and then write it down again the next day. I don't have to keep track of it. Just write it down. My soul shall make her boast of the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Then you invite them, say, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Come, let us exalt His name together. That's what we're doing here today. We're enjoying the presence of the Lord today. I sought the Lord, and He heard me. Verse 4. This is Psalm 34. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Okay, three sections to that verse. I sought the Lord. What's the conclusion? First conclusion. He heard me. Now, a lot of you might, you know, you might take a different direction on that second part. I sought the Lord and He didn't hear me. It's not what that says. It's not what the Word of God says. So again, you must let the Word of God be your foundation. You've got to let the Word of God be your foundation. Don't let your emotions and your experience dictate an objection to the clear Word of God. Don't let your emotions and your circumstances and your experiences dictate your interpretation of what God's Word has already said. I sought the Lord, and He heard me. And what's the next? And what was the result? He delivered me from all my fears. One good reason could be is because I only fear Him. There's no room for any other fears. But I don't fear Him in a terrorized sense. I fear Him in the sense that ain't nothing bigger than my dad. Nobody can come get me. Now, it may appear that somebody came and got you. It may appear that somebody came and got your stuff. It may appear that somebody came and took you for a ride and left you like the guy there on the Samaritan Road. Dead, you know, half dead, beat up. Somebody, you know, some of you, you know, that's been your experience. I understand that. But once you come into the presence of God and you know that He is your deliverer, even none of that matters. Because you no longer live in time, you live in heaven. Well, encouragement to you today is to live in heaven. No matter what your circumstances are, it is not your final, it's not the final word. That is not the final word. The final word for you is, I live in heaven. And I will bless the Lord at all times, and His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Okay, have you been delivered from all your fears? Yes. There's no hesitation in your answer. It's not a question to ask your state, what's your current state of affairs. Well, did He deliver for you from all your fears or not? No, He delivered me from all of my fears. It's all done. It's all done. It's all finished. Remember Jesus said it was finished? They looked to Him, verse 5, and they were lightened or enlightened or received light. They looked to Him and received light, and their faces were not ashamed. So His presence changes me. His presence now makes me now brand new. I'm a new creation. I'm a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm crucified. Nevertheless, I was crucified. Wait a minute. Nevertheless, I live. And the life that I now live in this container, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So I'm enjoying the presence of God, and I'm making that declaration to my family, to my workers, to my workplace, to my fellow workers, co-workers. And it's not necessarily that you're just, you know, preaching a sermon daily, but it's how do you respond? How do you respond to outward stimuli? Outward, you know, unpleasant circumstances. You know, somebody says, hey, how's the world treating you? How do people do? How's the world treating you? Terrible. But Jesus is always good to me. You know, you make a demonstration based on your responses. And that's part of your testimony, part of your ministry. Because you're encouraging that person. Now, they may hate it, but that's okay. They might not be humble yet. But you'll meet the humble. And the humble will be the ones that go, how do you do that? You ever had somebody ask you that? I mean, literally. Wow. How do you do that? Because they know maybe some of the things that have occurred in your life. They know you. They've talked to you. You know, this happened, that happened. But they see that you don't respond like other people. And this is your ministry. This is who you are. This is what you are. You know, if you're called to preach, fine. If you're called to teach, fine. If you're called to have a ministry in the marketplace, just what that means, it's kind of like preach ease for having a job. And you show up there, but you show up there every day. Moms show up with their kids at school every day. You know, there was a period of time where I had a lot more flexibility, and I was doing most of the stuff with our girls at the elementary school, you know, and I was president of the dad's club for a while and various things. And so you're talking to people, and you talk to them about your kids and about the circumstances that go on, and people tell their stories. And then you find out, you know what's happening in their homes and their lives, and you begin to have an opportunity to either, yeah, I know, that's true, yeah. You know, you ever know, found yourself doing that? You just kind of agree out of the flesh. But you begin to actually, something hits a nerve, and all of a sudden you begin to minister them out of your heart to encourage them. Because it's not just helping somebody complain and making them kind of feel like you're relating to them. But you're also meeting them and seeing that they have a hurt and a need, and they don't know which way to go. And this is who you are. You now have that opportunity to be able to show how to rejoice in the midst of a trouble. You may have a similar situation. That may be why you're talking to them. You may have had a similar experience with your child. Or maybe it's not a child and mom at school or parent at school. Maybe it's a similar work experience. Whatever it might be, your joy is transforming. It is. And the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. You've changed a life. Somebody may ask, you know, how do you do that? Well, I know Jesus. What? What'd you say? I know Jesus. Jesus who? Yeah, I mean, we live in a world that Jesus, he's become unknown. Huh? The church is on every corner. Well, people don't go there. You know, you got all kinds of things going on, all kinds of other opportunities for entertainment on Sunday morning than church. Amen? So you may be the only church that anybody has. You may be the only option, the only occurrence of the gospel that anybody sees. This poor man cried, verse 6, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. So David, he would cry. This poor man cried. And the Lord heard him and delivered him. So compare that to verse 4. I sought the Lord, he heard me, delivered me out of all of my troubles. And people look to you. And your testimony is, I had my own trouble. I had my own fears. But God delivered me. The angel of the Lord, verse 7, camps around them that fear him and delivers them. Well, again, here's the thing. You may compare your experience with what appears to be God's lack of intervention. Anybody ever done that? Like everybody? Is that you have in your emotional experience and your physical daily experience, where was God? Is your inquiry. And you don't know everything that's going on. And granted, it looks bad. But also, if you look into somebody else's life, you don't know how they got where they got. Well, look at that poor person. I mean, they're just in a mess. I mean, they lost everything. They're on drugs and everything. Of course, somebody's going to say, well, it's their own fault anyway. But you don't know what their circumstance is. You can't judge that. You don't know where they came from. Neither do you know what God's doing. You can't know. You don't know everything. At least I don't. I don't know everything. I can't say that. Now, whatever the Lord shows me, I can tell them, but I don't know everything about them. The angel of the Lord encamps around those that fear him and delivers them. What's that deliverance look like? I don't know. First of all, it's got to be deliverance from your own fear. Again, back to the kid with the kid in the pig pen. What's the first thing he delivered him from? His bad knowledge, his incorrect knowledge of God, the world, pretty much everything, because he thought he had it all figured out based on his experience. Well, how many know only God knoweth? You don't. You don't know based on your experience. See, we make all kinds of judgments based on our experience. You have to go back to God. You have to let that person go. Now, there may be an immediate occasion that you have to make a decision, but you may make a decision whether to provide a need or not. But you don't make a decision based on that individual's worthiness of such a need. For God so loved the world. That is, that person is just as worthy as you are, just as guilty as you are. The Lord encamps around those, I'm bringing that to this, the Lord encamps around those that fear him. I fear him, and he delivers me out of all my troubles. But I'm not checking my circumstances. I just know that he made a promise, and he's good for it. And whatever it is, whatever circumstance I need deliverance from, he's done it. Now, I could sit there and be complaining about the residue of the situation. I try to pull the right word out for you. The residual of the situation. What's left over, right? Because you could say, well, there's a bunch of stuff left over here. There's a big mess here on the floor still. You know, it doesn't appear that God really delivered me out of all my fears. I've got fears of that mess right there. No, you have to understand that you have to acknowledge, I have acknowledged that God has delivered me from all of my fears. So whatever is remaining, that's not my concern. That's not for me to be distressed over. I'm casting all of my care upon Him because He cares for me. I'm casting all of my care upon Him. All of my care about what the residual circumstances are left over that I thought should have been taken care of and I'm all worked up emotionally over, I'm casting that care upon Him. I'm no longer looking at the residue. I'm looking at Him. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall thank you. I don't want to walk out of here being the only one who can say that from memory. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. The angel of the Lord encamps around about them that fear Him, and He delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. My experience and my eyes can't know the blessing of the Lord. I'm not blessed because I look blessed. I'm blessed because I believe. I can be blessed anywhere, in any circumstance. Well, you haven't been in any circumstance. Yeah, but I'm working up to it. He knew I wasn't ready for any circumstance, but I'm working up to it. Is I'm blessed in every circumstance. Well, let's just see what you say when this happens. No, because right now I'm blessing the Lord at all times. Amen? I'm blessing the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You're not going to be able to stop me. Amen? I'm unstoppable. That's what I say now. But I believe it. But I believe it. I believe it. You can't get me. You can't, at least not for long. Not for more than a week. I mean, no, I'm just sorry. Not for more than an hour. Oh, I gave you a day. My bad. Danny for a day. Amen. How long do y'all think Leah needs? Amen. Now we'll give her a day. The day after. All right. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. Okay, now watch that one. How many could conjure up a want that was unmet? Anybody can do that? It's not wrong to want something, to want good food, to want, you know, this or that, or nice, decent pair of shoes. It's not bad to want something. But an unmet want, a good tool, I don't know. What. Anyway, a good husband. No, it's not. That was a good one. That was a good one. New and improved. That's right. All right. Now y'all made me lose my place. Okay. Unmet wants. You don't know. Granted, wants are fine. Wants are fine. You don't know when that want is going to be fulfilled. I mean, you've got it maybe written down. Your, you know, 2015 Corvette Stingray or, you know, whatever it might be. You've got that want written down. And that's it. That's what the want is, and it didn't show up. I'll read that again. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to them that fear him. Yeah, a want can be a thing, or a want can be lack, singular. There is no lack to him that fear him. Sure, you can want this or that, but there's no lack to you. You don't lack anything. I lack nothing. I require nothing. Why? Because the Lord meets all my needs. All my needs are supplied. In other words, I have no fear that there is something I require that I cannot, that I will never, that I will not have. The Lord meets every one of my needs. That's my testimony. So therefore, if I had a want that didn't show up, it's not want in the necessity sense that God would withhold something that I require to live abundantly. Amen? I live abundantly right now. Right now. And so, but you begin to think that way when you're blessing the Lord at all times. It's praise. It's continually in your mouth. And finally, the last verse we'll do. Pretty good. The young lions do lack. They do. I mean, now, you know, some people have interpreted this as like the young princes. You know, I don't know of any young princes that lack, but young lions, if they didn't have their mom or their mom or dad lying around, lion, don't laugh, that wasn't funny. If they didn't have their mom or their dad around, I mean, usually small cubs are dependent upon their parents for food and dependent upon their parents for their needs. The young lions, you may notice, do lack and suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not want for any good. Those that seek the Lord shall not want for any good. So this is my testimony. And this is your testimony. Is that I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You see, you want to take that with you. You want to begin to walk and live in that daily. Amen? Because this is who you are as a believer in Christ Jesus. David began that early. You remember he was even in the when what's his name? Samuel, the prophet, came to anoint him as king. He was looking for the right kid. Looking for the kid that God had anointed as king. And his testimony is that, you know, God used me, and he used me to kill the bear and to slay the lion. And, you know, God, his testimony was what God has done to deliver me. And I'll deliver, and he'll deliver me out of the hand of that giant too. Amen? That's who you are. God delivers you out of the hand of the giant. You have no, there is no lack to you. Can we walk with that? Can we begin to let the Holy Spirit give us that gift so that daily we're enjoying the fullness of the presence of God, and therefore as we are, as long as we are on the planet, as long as we are here, that the Holy Spirit and the living God himself, We are Jesus Christ to somebody else. We love like he loved. And when we find in our flesh that we don't, we immediately are repenting and saying, Lord, thank you that you do walk through me. So this is my life. Amen. This is your life. You know, when I say that, when I say mine, I mean yours. Because this is who we are. Amen. We're transforming the world one person at a time. We're transforming the world. Get on your blog. Get on your Facebook. Whatever, you know. Wherever you go. Begin your day rejoicing. First of all, that brings you into the presence of God. And then you begin to see your circumstances. And you begin to rejoice in the face of that, because the enemy is certainly going to remind you of what your circumstances are when you begin to rejoice, when you begin to thank Him and to praise Him for everything that He's done. Well, what about this? Yeah, I mean, your mind begins to wander into the, you know, problems of the day. But problems, troubles don't trouble you. Jesus said it. Said in this world you will have tribulation, trouble, troubling. What is that? Tribulation, troubling your. Well, tribulation talks about this three-pronged fork, the tribulator. What they use to flay the grain and throw it up in the air and let the chaff blow away. That's what that tribulation does in you. That tribulation tribulates you. It stirs up your ability to complain. But if you have no ability to complain because His praise is continually in your mouth, people see and they hear and they're glad. Amen? That's your testimony. Father, we just thank You today. Thank You for this word. Thank You for these Psalms. This is just one of them. We could read the next one and the next one. Of course, we could write our own. Every day we got our own, just like David does. We have our own Psalms. The trouble of the world, the trouble of the day, and the deliverance of the Lord. We thank You, Lord, for faith through Abraham, not keeping the works of the law, but allowing the Holy Spirit to keep the law through us, to walk with us. And we delight to walk it together and to know that You are preparing us daily for ministry to those who have need. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God.